بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. Respected elders and dear brothers, towards the end of the fifth juz which we completed in last night's Taraweeh Salah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the munafiqeen, the hypocrites who were present during the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There were a number of them, and they were amongst the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. They would dress like them, behave like them. They would even come to the masjid for salah like them. But within their hearts, there was no iman, no true belief in Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And these munafiqeen, these hypocrites had caused a great amount of harm and destruction, or rather, a great amount of trouble to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And of course, having them amongst the ranks of the Muslimin meant that they were privy to the decisions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So from a tactical point of view also, this was very detrimental to Islam and the Muslimin. And after a few years in Madinah Munawwara, finally Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then reveals an entire list of names to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, informing him of who exactly were the munafiqeen and the hypocrites. But here the question has to be asked, that seeing how detrimental, how harmful their presence was amongst the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, why was it such that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose to continue keeping them there, and Allah did not reveal this list of names to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam earlier? Many years had passed in the Madani period before this list was given to him. So various reasons have been given, but one such reason is mentioned in the opening verse of the sixth juz, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَا يُحِبُّ اللَّهُ الْجَهْرَ بِالسُّوءِ مِنَ الْقَوْلِ إِلَّا مَنْ ظُلِمْ. That the default system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that when a person has evil within him, when a person has weaknesses within him, shortcomings, then Allah's system is that this should not be disclosed unless absolutely necessary. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continued to give them a chance, allow them to try and gain true iman, true belief in Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, unless there is an imperative need, then a person's evil, a person's weaknesses, a person's shortcomings should not be disclosed and should not be exposed. This is an extremely important teaching of iman. And this particular point, Hazrat Mawlana Sahab has been mentioning recently over and over again, that many a times, many people unfortunately have become skilled in this. That we just wait for people to slip, wait for them to make a mistake, and then we are ready to publicize this, we are ready to run them down, we are ready to blacken their name amongst people. So this is completely contrary to the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Various ahadith have been mentioned, that person who will conceal someone's faults in this dunya, then on the day of Qiyamah, when he is most in need, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will conceal his faults. We can imagine a person is standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah, and those skeletons that he has within his closet are now being brought out. Because he concealed somebody, he hid the faults of somebody in this world, Allah will now protect and hide him on that day. And on the other hand, that person who will follow the atharat, he will pursue the flaws and the slip-ups of people, and he will try and publicize the wrongdoings of people, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make this person fall on the day of Qiyamah. Allah protect us. So this is the default ruling of Shariat, is that evil should not be publicized. However, the Mufassirin and Fuqaha have then mentioned that there are times when it is not only permissible but necessary that a person's evil be exposed. إِلَّا مَنْ ظُلِمْ. An example is given that somebody is, his intention is to do people down. And you are aware of this, you know his evil intentions, there are people who are going to be deceived by this individual. Then as a Muslim, it is your duty to now go and warn them that this is the intention of this person, this is what he is going to do. And therefore you should be wary, you should be cautious of such a person. Or somebody is being oppressed, he is being persecuted, tormented by somebody, and now he has to take it up to some authority, to some senior in the family, perhaps to some leader of the community, and expose this person that this is what he is doing or this is what she is doing. Then of course, not only is it permissible, but it is then necessary to expose the faults of that person. But the default ruling, the default setting in Shariat is that we should try and conceal, try and hide the faults of people. So this is mentioned in the opening verse of the sixth juz. And thereafter, towards the end of the first quarter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the Yahud and the reason that they were deprived of goodness in this world. We find that during the early days of the religion of the Yahud, When it came to what they were allowed to consume, then there was a lot of leeway in this regard. They were allowed to consume anything. كل الطعام كان حلا لبني إسرائيل. In the Quran it is mentioned that all types of food and drink were permissible for them. إلا ما حرم إسرائيل على نفسه. Except that which Nabi Yaqub alayhi salam had taken an oath not to consume. And Mufassirin mentioned one or two things, that the meat of camels and the milk of camels. But apart from these two items, every other type of food and drink was permissible for them. However, as time went on in the Torah, Allah would then make certain items of food and drink impermissible, haram for them. As we find in our Shariat also, certain things are impermissible for us to consume. But in the Shariat of the Yahud, we find many things thereafter became impermissible. وَعَلَى الَّذِينَ هَادُوا حَرَّمْنَا كُلَّ ذِي ظُفُرٍ. The entire ayat goes on, explaining which animals and which types of food are impermissible for them. But nevertheless, here Allah mentions the reason for this. And this is the most important part. فَبِظُلْمٍ مِّنَ الَّذِينَ هَادُوا حَرَّمْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ طَيِّبَاتٍ أُحِلَّتْ لَهُمْ. Four reasons are mentioned here. Why did Allah make their deen constrained? Why did Allah make things tight for them in this world? Allah says, firstly, because of their oppression, that they refuse to follow the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَبِصَدِّهِمْ عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ كَثِيرًا. And not only did they themselves not obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but more than that, they became a hindrance to others. And this is something we should be very wary and cautious about, is that if I am weak, I am unable to comply with some order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for whatever reason it may be, Allah understands our weakness, I should make tawbah, try my best. But I should never become an obstacle in the path of somebody else. Because of my own weakness, I try and make other people come with me and also break the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah says this was one of the reasons that we made things tight for them in this world. And thereafter, two more reasons are mentioned. وَأَخْذِهِمُ الرِّبَا. Because of their consumption of interest. وَقَدْ نُهُوا عَنْهُ وَأَكْلِهِمْ أَمْوَالَ النَّاسِ بِالْبَاطِلِ. And because they used to usurp the wealth of others. Unrightfully, they would take away the wealth of others. They would oppress people. They would not give people their due. So because of these other two factors, Allah says we made things difficult for them. And here again we understand the importance of a person being straight when it comes to his money matters. We mentioned last night also the importance of mirath, of inheritance. Here we can see once again, when it comes to our financial dealings, especially when it comes to the consumption of interest, this we find unfortunately has become widespread. Allah protect us, Allah save us. But the month of Ramadan Allah has given to us, for us to bring this conviction. We all know what is correct, we all know what is incorrect. We all understand when we are breaking the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, as insan we are weak, and sometimes we are put into a difficult position. But Allah has given us this month of Ramadan to bring that realization, that conviction within our heart, that there is only khair and goodness in the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why ulama have written that when the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will begin to consume interest, then just like the Yahud, Allah made things tight for them, Allah will also make things tight for this ummah. A person may have an abundance of wealth. If he looks at his bank balance, the money is increasing. But he will never have contentment. He will always be fearful of poverty. He's always worried that I must not lose it. He will never have a smooth sailing life. He'll always be worried, always be concerned. He'll always be afraid. But when a person will give up this haram wealth, and he will not get involved in interest, then even though outwardly he may have a little, but he will see how much of contentment, how much of happiness Allah will give him in his life. So this is a very important aspect when it comes to our money matters, our financial dealings. And thereafter, we commenced with Suratul Ma'idah, which is also a Madani surah, and many different laws of halal and haram are mentioned in this particular surah. And in fact, Mufassirin have said that this surah contains that verse, that ayat, which is the pride of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On one occasion, a Jewish person had come to Nabi alayhi salam, had come to Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu. And he said to him that, "Oh Umar, you Muslims have been given such a verse in your Quran, that if this type of verse had to be given to us in our Torah, then we would have taken the day of its revelation as a day of Eid, a day of festivity for us. What glad tiding Allah has given you in your Quran." Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu says to him that, "I already know which verse you are speaking about. This verse was revealed on the plains of Arafah. It was the night of Jumu'ah. It was during the last few years of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's life, where Allah reveals to him, 'Al-yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati wa raditu lakum al-islam deena,' that I have perfected your deen, your way of life for you, and in doing so I have completed my favors upon you, and I have become happy and pleased with Islam as a way of life for you." Allah is giving glad tidings to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that your shariat and your sunnah is the best and will always be the best. And we mentioned this before also, Mawlana Abrar al-Haq Sahib rahmatullah alayhi would mention with regard to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam three things. That the sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam is akmal. It is absolutely perfect, absolutely complete. It does not need any additions. It does not need any subtractions. And then he would say, sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is ajmal. It is the most beautiful thing that a person can bring into his life. We find when it comes to fashion also, what was regarded as fashionable 20 years ago, today people will laugh at that type of dressing. And similarly, the way we are dressing today, or those, the way the West is dressing today, in 20 years time, their children and grandchildren will be laughing at them. So fashion changes all the time. But the sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, 1400 years, it has stood the test of time. And it will continue till the day of Qiyamah being the most beautiful and the most accepted in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he would say that the sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is ashal. It is the most easy for a person to practice upon. There can be nothing easier than this. Just one incident that comes to mind. A few years back, I was in one of the banks. So I was speaking to the person behind the counter. And you have to fill out a whole lot of details when you're opening some account. So during the course of the conversation, this person asked, how many years have you been married? And the conversation went into the discussion around marriage. And he began asking questions, how do you Muslims get married? So I remember mentioning to him that in our culture it is very, very simple. That most of the time it is arranged by the parents and the boy will go the first time in his life that he's seeing that girl. He will sit with her for a few minutes, 10, 15 minutes. He'll ask her a few questions and he'll go back home, think about it. He sends a proposal. She accepts the proposal and they get married within a short space of time. So when I said this to him, he was absolutely amazed. He called all the other staff and he says, see, we found the solution. This is the solution. We are struggling for years and years trying to get the lobola and whatever else it may be just for us to get married. And hear how simple these people's religion is. So this is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When the non-Muslims also can understand this. Imagine we as reciters of kalima, as claimants that we follow Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, but we haven't seen the beauty. We haven't seen the simplicity, the easiness in the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah has given us, respected brothers and elders, this month of Ramadan. And these beautiful moments during the month of Ramadan, we wake up in the morning for sehri, person will read tahajjud salah, we come early to the masjid, we're engaging in Quran tilawat. But the thing is for us to get that spirit of iman within us. Understand we are the fruits of which garden? What sacrifices Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made, sahaba radiallahu anhum made, and understand the beauty that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept for us within our deen. When this conviction will come within our lives, then we will see how easy it will become for us to fulfill the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to uphold the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah give us tawfiq wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.